This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Air on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor Fuel Injection, located at 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. Go to sdcarb.com, sdcarb.com for all your carburetor, fuel injection, and distributor needs. They're one of the very few folks that still rebuild distributors and dyno them to get as much power out of that engine as possible. Also, if you have a BMW, a Mini, or a BMW Mini or a Porsche, Black Forest Motorsports is where you need to be. 8066 Engineer Road in San Diego. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. That's blackforestautomotive.com. All right. Hey, I did a great interview last week with a racer by the name of Dan Parker. You're not going to believe this interview. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. So take a listen.
All right, folks. Well, have I got an interesting interview for you today. I've got Dan Parker on the line. Dan Parker is a racer, and he's been, hey, Dan, how long have you been racing cars, I guess it's been?
Well, I'm about to be 50 years old. I ran my first drag race when I was 8 years old in a mini bike class.
You didn't sound 50 40. Years old? That's amazing. So you started out in drag racing, and then what did you move into?
That's what I've done my whole life. I'm a second-generation racer. My father, Jimmy, is 76 years old, still races NHRA Stockholm there today. My mother was 8 months pregnant with me and won a drag race, so I literally grew up at the drag strip and been involved with it basically my whole life.
That is a great – I hope you're doing a book.
I need to. Everybody says I need to write a book.
Yeah, well, you can't do it. You just got to sit down and talk to somebody. That's the best way to do a book in my world. But what's unique about your racing career is back in 2012, you had a racing accident, and what did it end up doing to you?
I was in an induced coma for 2 weeks. When they brought me out of the coma, I found out that I'm 100% blind for life. My brain swelled from the head trauma, compressed my optic nerve, killed it, cut off the blood circulation.
Yeah.
Had just numerous other injuries. My whole right arm has been completely reconstructed, traumatic brain injury, broke ribs, collapsed lung, just you name it.
But you're still here.
Yes. You know, I credit me being here is me and my car owner, Bill George, were real safety conscious and the invention of the Hans device. You know, it's sad to say Dale Earnhardt Sr.,
I know.
You know, passed. In implementation of the Hans device being required, but that's literally what saved my life. You know, at the end of the wreck, at 175 miles an hour, at the 8th mile mark, the car made a hard right turn into the wall, tore a section out of the wall, went over the wall, went to tumbling, and the car just broke into pieces. There was nothing left forward of my feet, no motor, no transmission, no front suspension, firewall, dash bar, steering column, anything. And so, no one should have walked away. No one should have lived through what I lived through.
Yeah. I think the good Lord was probably riding with you, too. But what
yes.
What happened because of that, you didn't hang your helmet up. You didn't say, okay, give me my dog, give me my, you know, my white cane, and you know, let's just move on. What did you end up doing?
After about 6 months of deep depression, I had a dream one night. I went to bed thinking about my late brother passed in 09. And he told me about the ultimate, you know, cool story about four guys from France that built a 50cc motorcycle. They took it apart, flew to the United States with it in their luggage, rented a car, went to Bonneville Salt Flats, and each set a record with, without sidecar, with, without fairing, et cetera. And so I went to bed thinking about Chris that night. I was on the verge of suicide, as I could say,
sure.
Cash in my own check. And I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning from a dream that I could race again. I never went back to sleep that night. And so when Jennifer, my fiance, woke up, I told her, I said, I figured out what I'm going to do. I'm going to become the first blind man to race the Bonneville Salt Flats.
Wow.
And so I set out designing and built a three-wheel motorcycle. In August of 2013, I became the first blind man to race Bonneville. I returned in 14 and set my official FIM class record. What was so unique is it has no exemptions for blindness, as I'm the only blind person in the world that's ever raced without human assistance. I have a special custom guidance system built by a friend of mine, Patrick Johnson, at Boeing Phantom Works, that gives me audible feedback so I know how to stay on course. So from the time, you know, the chase truck at Bonneville said, course is clear, no one helped me, no one talked to me or nothing until I came to a complete stop through the finish line.
Oh, my God. I mean, that, dude, that's a movie, too. That's a movie. You think The Fastest Indian was a good movie? That's a movie. Holy mackerel. So I'm sure there's even more positive to this story, because I have a sneaky feeling that guidance system that your friend designed for you can be used in other applications for the blind.
Yeah, you know, the technology is amazing today. As I tell people, I can't imagine being blind 25 years ago, much less 100 years ago. And
yeah.
So it's truly amazing.
Wow. Well, I work with the Blind Institute here in town. We do a rally, and there's he's passed away, but 92 years old, and he was a navigator, and he won every single year. And a lot of people need to get more involved with the Blind Institute, because when I went to the Institute, they would use things like fountains to tell you where you were. One fountain would be had more water pressure than the other. I mean, so many interesting things, because if it ever happened, I mean, no one's ever prepared for blindness. I don't care what you say.
No.
You can tell me
That's
how
right.
you're going to handle it, but you're not going to do it till it's happened. And, wow, this is just unbelievable, my man. So, in Bonneville, God, I haven't even been to Bonneville.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you going again?
Well, I don't know what that future holds, you know. Recently, I just debuted my Corvette to become the world's fastest blind man, and it's just as much of a show car as it is a race car. And so after my trip to Bonneville 13 and 14, that salt sure is rough on equipment, so I don't think I plan on taking the Corvette just yet. Maybe until the new wears off of it.
Yeah, so, wow. So now you've got what year Corvette? It's a Z06, I think, isn't it?
It's an 08 Corvette base. It does have Z06 rear quarters on it. I bought it as a flood salvage car with no motor and no interior, with one purpose: to build it to become the world's fastest blind man. I've been working on it for 2.5 years.
Where are you going to run it?
I debuted it 2 weeks ago at the Spaceport in New Mexico at the East Coast Timing Association's inaugural event. And it has a far more sophisticated guidance system than we had on the motorcycle. And so I've been working up 2.5 years, you know, full roll cage. You know, I designed the car. Obviously, I didn't build the whole car, but I do have hands on, you know, working on the car and helping fabricating.
Sure.
But it has a full belly pan, front to rear, blocked off grill, custom ram air, opening in the grill, opening, pro stock style rear wing, full roll cage, GT2 style rear diffuser, over 100 louvers in the belly pan to allow any air to escape that does actually get into the engine bay. So it's 427 cubic inch, 14-to-1 compression LS3. So it's a serious piece, made 570 rear wheel horsepower, naturally aspirated.
Now, have you broke the record?
Well, I broke the fastest blind man with no human assistance record. I went 153.8 miles an hour. I'm the fastest blind man in America. That Mike Newman in England years ago went 200.4 miles an hour. He holds the Guinness Book of World Record, and obviously he had human assistance. So I'm going for his record, but also doing it with no human assistance. I want to bring that record home to America.
Will you do this on a drag strip, or will you go to a...
It'll be at rather the Spaceport in New Mexico, standing 1.5 mile event or the Space Shuttle landing site, Florida.
Gotcha.
Johnny Bomber's proven ground. So it's that's what we're trying to figure out right now, all the logistics.
Sure.
We had a great first outing. Everything went good. A lot of hard work. The team overcame a lot of obstacles. So we're regrouping. Have a few things we want to change to the guidance system. We want to take the car to the wind tunnel, A2 wind tunnel in Mooresville, North Carolina, and then be prepared to go after the record this fall is what realistically is looking like now.
And by the way, you kind of forgot one of my favorite advertisers and sponsors, Ridetech.
Oh, yeah, the car, somebody asked me the other day, how did the car handle? And it was just amazing. It just stuck to the ground.
Yeah.
And with it has custom triple adjustable Ridetech coilover conversion kit, and the car was just rock steady. You know, the Ridetech control arm bushings. And what I tell people, they think I'm joking. The Ridetech coilover conversion for the Corvette was so easy, I installed all four corners by myself. I laid,
I
owned a chassis shop before, so, you know, I'm familiar with coilovers and parts, and I laid out all the parts on my tables, one of my blankets, and went to installing each one, you know, and I installed all four corners 100% blind, 100% by myself.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I knew I was going to interview you, I kind of messed around at night. You know, I turned all the lights off in the house, and I wanted to see how I could function. Now, the problem is I knew I had sight, so that's one thing I couldn't, you know, replicate. You know what I'm talking about. But when you're used to your surroundings, that story you just told makes perfectly good sense, especially when you've been putting suspension parts on longer than anybody, probably. I mean, on and off, on and off. I mean, it's like brushing your teeth. Well, Dan, you are going to call me back after this event. And, man, I cannot wait to In fact, I've got a buddy of mine that's a producer. And I know this sounds corny, but he's a producer out here in L.A. I'm going to send him this interview. And I'll bet you any amount of money he's going to come chat with you. Well, Dan Parker, I tell you, I just can't tell you how proud I am of you. And you were put on this planet for a reason, and I think you found it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to come on the show with you. And, you know, one quote I have in life is, you can make excuses or make it happen. And so that's what we're trying to do with the Corvette project.
Well, you've got one other one. I'm not a blind man trying to race. I'm a racer who went blind.
That's right.
You're the man, brother. Take care, and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Looking for a new or used vehicle? You can't go wrong when you go to El Cajon Ford. Looking for used? 80% of their trade-ins are used cars. They don't go to the auction. They send cars to the auction that don't meet their strict requirement. Looking for a new vehicle? You won't get a better price anywhere in the county. El Cajon Ford, 1595 East Main Street. Go to ElCajonFord.com, ElCajonFord.com. And they're a big sponsor of Barona Circle Track. In fact, the owner is going to be racing this season, and I cannot wait. April 4th is opening day, but I think he's going to run up there on the 3rd. Do a little open practice. Go to BaronaSpeedway.com. The schedule's up. You'll be able to pick and choose all the races that you want to go to. I personally recommend going to all of them. Hey, we got the Golden Tongue Devil on the line. Dirt Dude, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Dave. How about yourself?
You know, just waiting for the 4th. But I guess the 3rd's a Friday, and they'll be doing an open track practice on Friday.
Well, on the schedule, March 28th, the weekend before, is going to be a Saturday practice. That's a full practice day. So the whole Saturday is practice.
Let me write that down. March 28th. Okay.
Yeah, bummer for me is I've got – that's the Off-Road Nights gig that I'm going to go do.
Is that
what
Del Mar?
About KUSI?
That's a Del Mar.
Yeah, Del Mar, the opening there for Off-Road Nights is going to be a two-day event, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I think they're coming to KUSI to promote, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Do we have a date yet for KUSI for opening day?
I've been waiting for something. I haven't heard anything from anybody.
Okay, we need probably should get on that and make sure we can reserve a day either weekend, a couple weekends before, or
yeah,
maybe weekend after. I'm not sure how good that's going to work for missing open day. But
yeah, I want to try. If I have to push some people around, I'll do that to make sure we get at least a couple of cars. I guess I should reach out to the folks and because they need to get a date. I'm sure they want to get on TV because it's going to be a great season this year. You guys are really got some great lineups.
I'm sure there's going to be a ton of cars available right now. I know of one thing I wanted to say, a good shout-out to Scott Loschel from Paris Auto Speedway. He starts his 33rd year of announcing and 23 years of the past. That is a pretty good run so far. 23 years at one place, one venue.
Well, you're working on it.
I'm close. I'm not in the genre of that man, but, you know, I've got some years at Verona Speedway now.
Well, don't sell yourself short. There's a lot of folks out there that love your announcing. You figured out the way to the fans' hearts is knowing who the drivers are, getting involved in their lives. And, you know, you know when you go to the track, you don't just go up in the booth and start talking. You actually go down on the track and, you know, so you're doing everything the right way. And one day, don't make it come any quicker than you have to, but one day you'll have that accolade yourself. Have no fear.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I always feel like when I'm at the track, I'm there with about 300 or 400 of my friends, and we're watching racing on my couch. You know, it's like we're just talking about it, and it's not like I'm telling anyone about it. It's
right.
Not me announcing. I'm just hanging out with friends, and, you know, we're just having a good night at the races.
And don't forget, you're trying to yell above the roar of the engines to try to keep people informed. That's always a lot of fun.
I'm just the white noise in the background. That's all. That's no big deal.
I know. You should come out with me when I do the demo derby at Del Mar for the Burn Institute. Holy,
yeah.
There's the acoustics in that place, for one, are terrible, and two, the cars have no mufflers.
I'm there for monster trucks, and it's just pretty much once they start up, you're like, you don't hear nothing.
Yeah, well, you still yell and holler, and you still try to keep the fans involved, but man, I tell you, that's a tough venue. And you wouldn't be doing all these other events if you didn't have your act together. So, I mean, you like what you do. You're very passionate about it, so that's the cool thing.
I told everybody I get to live vicariously through all these racers, and I don't have to spend a dime. And I get to, you know, live like a millionaire.
That's right. And if they roll one over and get a few bruises, you don't.
Yeah. So I just want to let everyone know that there was a lot going on this weekend. The Pass is running. Coca-Cola is running. And right now the Midwinter Fair in El Centro is running. And a lot of our drivers are doing this as a shakedown run for well, we had the dwarf cars are running out there, the Hornets, Pure Stocks, and Southwest Lightning Sprints, which is that new division running in our track.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sextons have been out there. Grant Sexton is already super fast. Brent Sexton had a third place win yesterday, and right now Grant and Brent are leading the pack on fastest times today. Actually, Grant Sexton's the fastest time today and won a dash for cash last night. But then a lot of our dwarf cars are there, a lot of our Pure Stocks and Hornets. Like I said, they're going out there for a shakedown. Everyone's getting ready to try and make that, you know, opening day the 4th, and then our practice on the 28th, the weekend before.
Yeah, and are they charging for the practice for fans to come out?
To spectate?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
driver and car are paying, but spectating, it's probably going to be a free thing.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, come on out. Because sometimes the practice is as good as the racing.
Well, it's everyone's, you know, shaking off the cobwebs after the beginning of the season. So
yeah,
either they're going to be ready to go or they're going to be figuring out what they need to do to get ready to go.
Yeah. And I don't know how much rain they got at the track this weekend, but it was a nice rain. I think, if anything, it would be good for the track.
I'm thinking about that a little bit more. Tuesday is supposed to be like our heaviest one, and they're talking anywhere from a half an inch to 3 inches. So, you know, you never know. You never know how well that track takes water. Sometimes, you know, if it's been a while, it'll take a little bit of water. And if it floods, they've still got some time. We've still got it like 3 or 4 weeks before the practice comes up. So,
and the Salazars, like, they love slopping around in the mud. Those guys enjoy it. So that'll be fun. Chasing the puddles.
Just figuring out how to make that track work.
Yeah, chase the puddles, as they say. Just chasing the puddles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks to me like I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, this season, it looks like you're going to have a few more drivers in each division, folks that are moving out of the lower divisions into the higher divisions. So it looks to me like you're going to have a great car count this year.
Well, the schedule has got a lot of different things on it. Like I said, we have, you know, lawnmowers, go-karts, SoCal Oval Carters. The Hornets are coming in for their beginning of this year. And then our pure stock, street stocks, dwarf cars, the Southwest Lightning Sprints now are showing up. So, and then there's just a great rotation of divisions. Mm-hmm. I think opening night, we're pretty much having everything, and then it'll rotate after that. I know dwarf cars are taking some of the days off, and then they're intermingling with the Southwest Lightning Sprints aren't there the whole time, so they're going to be doing other races too. So it'll be a good mix of variety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be. I'm definitely going to make it up there on the 4th. I'm definitely going to try to run out because I really want to see how Paul's going to do, because I know he's been out of the car. How long has he been out of a car?
I'm trying to think. The last time he had that pony was the last time I remember him racing, yeah. Except for he raced side-by-side a couple of times. But as far as, running for a championship, it's been
2 years.
Him and his boys were up there racing. I think more like, at least 3 to 4.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd be excited to see how well he does.
He made a couple appearances. I know, like, when we had our pony stock main night, the Ed Hale Classic, because he always usually comes off for Ed Hale Classic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he wasn't there last year, and probably the year before, I think he raced in it.
Does he still have that old Ed Hale car?
I think I'm not sure if they have it or not. I know it went for sale. It's been up on a list, and I'm not sure if anyone bought it or not yet. That's the one PJ had, Justin had raced that car and actually got a championship and a couple of seasons, great seasons in that car. So
that car's got that car's got some serious history.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
PJ
one.
PJ and then Paul, PJ and then Justin, they all took their turns in that car, and it's been a fast champion car.
That's one of those cars that probably needs to go down to the San Diego Automotive Museum. And make a little, San Diego Motorsports, Ed Hale type. Because, I mean, that guy was amazing. From an engine builder to a driver. I mean, and a participant. I mean, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet.
Yeah, especially the old Cajon days. I never really was much into Cajon because it's asphalt.
Right.
Built a couple pony stock motors for it. But, it had its listing there, and it was a great track to go to. Everyone raved about it.
Well, it's funny, too, because if you ever watch him drive, he drove that track different than anybody else does. His line was so weird, but he won so many races with that line, and guys would try to copy it and could never copy it. But that's just Ed Hale. And hopefully, Barona. So I know you guys, have you got it all spruced up? Is it all painted and all ready to go?
I haven't heard. I'm sure we're probably going to have a couple of days coming up here where they want to do, the last little cleanup and make sure the paint's looking good and everything to finish it up. I know they're waiting on weather to see how the weather's going to go through for this season.
Yeah.
Hopefully don't miss a couple of races. Usually the first part of the season, you get a lot of weather coming in.
Right.
And then it's nice during the middle of the season, then it gets cold towards the end.
So. Right.
Be pretty good.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, hey, thank you very much for taking time out of your day and calling in. I know all the Barona fans love hearing you on radio, so we will see you. I guess I'll see you on the 4th. I won't see you on the 28th.
I can't wait. Glad to see you there.
All right. BaronaSpeedway.com, folks. BaronaSpeedway.com. Thanks, buddy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Folks, hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment's brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. One fast half-mile track with more history and the greatest racing you're going to find on a half-mile dirt track here in Southern California. You can go to parisautospeedway.com, check out the schedule. The racing is going to be just exciting as can be this coming season. They're at 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. Just go to parisautospeedway.com, pick the race, and make sure you're there. It's about a two-hour drive tops out of San Diego, so make it happen. All right, our special guest today is Chuck Baker, three times Paris Auto Speedway modified champion. Felt he had enough, sold everything, and then he bought it all back. Chuck, what were you thinking?
You know, I'm not quite sure that anybody that has anything to do with a race car is thinking. But I was officially retired for just over a month, and I got a deal I couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
And, well, here we go again.
I know. Well, there's a, I don't know if you know Paul Dyke. He races at Baronage, and him and his kids have raced all, and it's one champion. He ends up buying a car. He just couldn't stand it. There was one, I think it was pure stock. I'm not sure what class he's getting into, but he's not. So he's in it for the whole year, and he didn't even tell his wife. She picked her up at the airport, and she just said, "Did you buy a race car?" And he goes, "What?" She says, "Did you buy a race car?" And so he changed the subject, and she wouldn't let him alone until she pulled in the driveway, and there was a race car.
Right.
But
even today, going to get the darn thing, I just picked it up today up at Randy Thornell's house.
Yeah.
And on the way up there, the fender falls off the trailer. So I went, all right. So we ratchet strapped the fender down.
Yeah.
Then on the way back, we have a flat on the trailer. So we came in like on a wing and a prayer with three wheels.
Can you see it's bringing back all those old race memories, huh?
It just makes me shake my head.
I know.
I just.
But you're going to.
After.
What kind of cards you get? What kind of cards you get?
I got a Shaw. And I got a Shaw that used to belong to Devin Falconer.
Oh.
from Verona. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have, I mean, come on, what else are you going to do on the weekends, right?
Well, here's what was going on, is after I sold the cars, I just kind of was sitting around, and there was a lot of stuff needed to be done on the house.
Yeah.
And we've got the outside of the house done, and we got a bathroom, you know, one of the bathrooms completely remodeled, and I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at where the money's going, and I'm thinking, you know what, I can live in a damn tent, and I'm happy, but for some reason, women weren't built the same as us, and they can't.
No.
So I figured I better spend some money on a race car before it all goes to the house.
Yeah.
You know, that's the logical thinking I was using.
Yeah, and I'm sure we did not have that conversation with her, because you probably have another bathroom, and you know, yeah, I get it.
She just grins, and she knows how I am. But in the meantime, I also bought a recliner. That was what I was going to use retirement. And I also got a new puppy that'll be here in 2 weeks.
What'd you get?
I got a chocolate lab, and she's 5.5 weeks old now, so we'll bring her home in 2 more weeks.
Excellent. Yeah, my wife, that's one of the things, my wife, when we got married, I told her I wasn't into kids, and she says, well, neither am I. So I thought, that's cool. She says, I'm into dogs. I says, okay, well, how bad could that be, right?
Yeah,
there's 13 puppies at home right now getting ready to go to new homes. We own a handful. Yeah, so I get it.
Well, I had a dog before, and I swore that I couldn't stand the dog, but he was awesome. And in October, he wasn't doing real well, and I happened to go to work. And he waited for me not feeling well till I got home from work. And when I got home, we went through our little daily routine and everything.
Sure.
And I knew he wasn't doing well. I sat down with him, and he waited till I told him it was okay, and he passed away right there sitting in my lap.
God, jeez.
So, it's taken me a little bit, and here we go again with a puppy, and it'll be awesome.
I tell
her name is,
what's her name?
Her name is Mabel.
Well, I tell people all the time when they tell me they just lost their dog, I go get a puppy now. No, I can't do it. I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you and I, and I'll hound them, and then they'll go get a puppy, and then they'll say, "Oh, this is the best thing I ever did." Well,
right.
We raise Rottweilers and Dachshunds, so we've got two little six week old Rotty puppies, a boy and a girl, and she named them Bonnie and Clyde, if you can believe it.
Oh, geez.
So it looks like we're keeping those two, is what it's. But, you know, my wife's into dogs just like you're into race cars, you know. She loves it. It's her hobby. They're all grand champions. And if you ever want to know anything about dogs, it doesn't make a difference what the breed is, you know, get my phone number from Scott, And before you go to the vet and spend an arm and a leg, talk to my wife. Because, I mean, she is the dog whisperer if there ever was one, let me tell you.
Right. I'm actually excited about bringing Mabel home. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, she's, and that's a great dog, too. That's a great breed.
I swore after Bailey was gone, I wouldn't have another one, and yet here we are again.
Now, what was Bailey? Was Bailey also?
He was a Chihuahua. He was a little pain in the butt. But I'll tell you what, he was the best dog.
Yeah.
He always let us know if somebody was there. He was always right there with us.
Yeah.
He thought he was one of the family. It was just, he was amazing.
What do you mean he thought? And he was ahead of the family.
You know,
think about
I'm not convinced that you're not right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's awesome. Well, you're going to have such a great time, and it's a little bit bigger dog, but that's okay. It'll be great. They'll be able to cuddle with you and lay on your lap, and he'll just take over your bed. I have a sneaky feeling.
Well, his bed might be beside our bed, but he ain't going to take over my bed.
Oh, wait till you see the eyes on that dog. You won't ever.
I know.
So,
I know. I actually posted a picture of her recently.
All right. So let's go back to racing. So you got rid of everything. You sold it. I mean, now, was that just for one season or was it a couple?
No, that was actually mine and my son's car. Okay. The same people bought them both. And they raced them last night up at Ventura. I haven't heard yet how they did.
Okay.
But they decided they want to go racing. They made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Sure.
And I'm like, you know what? Okay. And I will let you guys know anything I know about the cars, and I've been trying to help them a little bit here and there when I can.
Yeah, sure.
And so we'll just, you know, then I got this deal that came along because Devin's moving out of state, and here we go again.
So when you say you sold everything, did you sell everything? I mean,
I sold everything except my trailers because you can always use trailers for whatever it is, and I kept my tools.
So now you ended up now you have to go out and buy everything again, right?
Well, not really, because what I got with this car is a lot of the spare parts and stuff that went to it. Now, I won't have like spare spindles or some of that stuff, but I got enough spares with it, and I know enough people that we can make it happen.
How cool.
Like Shelly from PRE, she does really good with me.
Oh, yeah.
The Thornells do really good with me. Yeah. And, you know, the racing community is really small, and we all kind of help each other out.
Sure. Did your old sponsors come with you?
You know, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, so I called Lucas Oil, and I talked to Luann Crandall at Lucas Oil. Because they've been with me for so long, and I told them I wasn't sure if I was going to run or not, but what can we do? She said, how about this? How about we just keep you on hold, and if you decide you're going to run, you run our sticker, we give you stuff as you need it. Like, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And all the other sponsors are on board with me.
That is. Well, you better name them off, because if you don't, this is a wasted phone call.
I got BRT. That's Randy Thornell. Uh-huh. A First Impression, Ed Moore Driveline, PRE 2.0, Carpet Station. They're out of the mountains here in Running Springs, Crestline area. Huss Trucking, and like I said, Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. I know I'm Gold Thrust Racing Shocks out of Nebraska.
Got to have those.
Yes. And I know I'm messing up here.
Well, while you're thinking.
I can't even think.
I just want you to know, I've never been to Crestline. I was just there Wednesday.
Really?
Have you ever seen in the grocery store those 4-foot M&M's people that they would put bags of candy in it, and they're just like M&M displays?
Yes, you were probably up at Good Ones in Crestline.
Well, I bought one from a lady that lives up there. I drove all the way. Now I have the full collection in my house, right at the front door, all 7 of them. But that's a beautiful area, and what a great little town.
Right. Very close-knit town. They're all really close up there.
I bet there's a really good restaurant there, too. I thought to ask her because I was starving to death, and I bet you there's a real – because you can't have a bad restaurant in a town that small.
Correct. There's actually a couple. Depends on what kind of food you want to eat.
Dad, burn it. Doggone it. Well, darn, that's great. So – Now, with this car that you just purchased, are you going to leave it the same color? Are you going to change anything on it?
No, actually, the bumpers are going to stay pink. like they were with Devin, and the car was just up at Randy's, and he fixed a couple of the body panels and stuff for me and went through some stuff, and we changed a couple things. And then we mounted a different seat in it because Devin's actually a little smaller than me, or a lot smaller. And then after the Daytona race, Eileen was convinced that I couldn't run in my normal seat, so I had to put a containment seat in it.
There you go. Nothing wrong
with normally, that. And normally they're always right, and I'm always wrong, so that's kind of where we're at now. Cool. I'm, for instance, a couple years ago, they kept hounding me about wearing a Hans device, and I never would. Then I ended up upside down four races after I started wearing it. So they're normally right, and I'm normally not.
Yeah, I know. You got that Dale Earnhardt in you. I know how that stuff goes, except that you seem a little softer because you took their advice, and well done as well. What numbers
on
the car?
If I had really taken their advice after I flipped and we found out it still had all the wheels on the car, I wouldn't have finished the race because the cage actually came down in the car from one of the hits. But I didn't know that, so I got back in the car and I finished the race.
Did you?
And
really?
You actually did pretty well.
Hey, there's an adjustment you can't pay for, right?
Right. And then after we found out the cage came down, boy, I was really in trouble then.
Yeah. Well, you know, until the people that are yelling at you get behind the wheel, there's just something about completing a race. I mean, you don't care. I mean, if the engine's dragging on the ground, if you can get it to fire up and move, you're going to at least try, right?
Yeah, of course I am. That's probably why I couldn't completely retire. I don't know, dude.
I'm right there with you. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I remember one time I was racing a go kart out of Cajon Speedway, and I hit a bump and came out of the seat, came back down. The seat got me between the second and third rib, and separated them. And my wife was there, and she says, "Are you all right?" "Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, could you give me a glass of water?" And when she went to go get water, I pulled my driving seat off, and I had him duct tape my chest so I could finish the race. And I won that race. I mean, I was in utter pain. Well, you know what a rib's like, so yeah, I know.
I do. And you know, the only thing that I think hurts more than that is a rotator cuff.
Haven't done that one yet. I'm still working on it. But hey, buddy, I am so glad to hear you're back in the seat. I'd love to have to talk to you throughout the season, give your sponsors some love, and you know, if you ever feel like coming to San Diego some weekend and just display your car, I do local racers all the time to help. Because, you know, sponsors are so good to you. And when you can give them back radio and TV or stuff like that, they don't expect it, but they sure appreciate it.
I think after my third title there, I owe you one anyway. But,
yes, you do.
You're right. My sponsors are the best. They have stuck with me no matter what through a lot of years.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely the best.
All right, buddy. What's the number of the car so people can keep an eye out for you?
It's going to be 29 again.
All right.
And so it's pretty recognizable.
All right.
We've always ran the Nightmare Before Christmas theme. This year we're going to do something a little bit different, but I'll save that for next week.
Yeah,
so if anybody doesn't have anything to do next week, come out to Paris Auto Speedway and let's see what happens.
You got it, buddy. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. That's ParisAutoSpeedway.com. Thanks, buddy. Sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. We're going to take a small break. When we come back, I got Norm DeWitt on the line, and he wants to talk about coronavirus and racing. Only Norm DeWitt would do that. Right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. You can go to CertifiedCarCare.net. They'll work on everything under the hood, in your garage, every car you have. They do motorsports. They do buggies, off-road, drag racing. They do it all. Very, very knowledgeable. CertifiedCarCare.net. And if you're looking to spruce up under the hood of your car, Hose Specialties is there as well. They'll custom make braided lines for any application you're looking for. Right there at HoseSpecialties.com. Located at Certified Car Clinic in their building, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. All right, hey, we got Norm DeWitt on the line. Hey, Norm, how's it going?
It's a good question. How's it going? Gigantic question mark at the moment.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's start with motorcycle Grand Prix racing.
Sure.
Because they actually managed to have a Moto2 and a Moto3 race today. And the Moto2 race, the main reason I'm bringing that up is because pole position, they say for the first time in a decade that an American's been on pole at a motorcycle Grand Prix.
Really?
Joe Roberts, a Californian, was on pole, and he ended up finishing fourth. Put in a great showing. He was in the lead with six laps to go. I mean, he was in the fight the whole time.
What was he riding?
Well, it's a Moto2 bike, so everything is Triumph engine, and most of the field is a Calix chassis, so gotcha. It's not really...
It's not a production bike, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not like it's a Ducati, or unless a Calix means something to you, which means you're completely into this sport.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, the bottom line is there's an American that's now fighting for podiums in Moto2 and took a pole. And that was fantastic. I was chatting back and forth with Ben Spies, who you might remember from being a World Superbike champion and whatnot. And I said, hey, Ben, you know, everybody's saying it's the first pole in a decade. Are they talking about you at Indy in 2010? And he's thinking, maybe. You know, because I remember when he put the Tectoy Yamaha on the pole at Indy. And so it's a little bit of American road racing history happened today. Now,
so why do you suppose it's taken that long, and why we in America, our riders, have not excelled in GP racing?
Well, we completely dominated the sport from 1978 with the arrival of Kenny Roberts all the way through 1993.
Right.
So, I mean, we dominated the sport for 16 seasons.
Yeah. I know, and then we kind of took it for granted that it was easy to win, and our guys were always out there just nailing it, but then all of a sudden, boy, a dry spell.
Our guys came, well, most of them, not all of them, most of them came from flat track, where you're used to riding a loose motorcycle.
And
they'd get in some rainy, slippery track on marginal tires, and they'd just be getting on with it, and everybody else would be like, what are they doing? How are they going so fast?
Yeah, right.
You know, that was a big part of it, but... Sure. You know, there's an American back on the scenes, and that's a good thing because there's no Americans in MotoGP at the moment. And the last one was Nicky Hayden, who sadly was killed in a bicycle accident in training.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you could line him up for an interview, wouldn't that be something?
Who, Nicky?
No, not Nicky. The gentleman that just...
Ben Spies?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you. Oh, you're John Joe Roberts.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Roberts, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Roberts. And he's no relation to Kenny Roberts, by the way.
I would tell everybody I am. I would. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, that might come back to haunt him.
Yeah,
but,
probably.
You know, there was no MotoGP race. And the reason was because a week ago there was all the Moto2 and Moto3 teams testing in Qatar, or Qatar. On how you pronounce it,
right?
And most people here call it Qatar over in the over off the Persian Gulf, and the travel restrictions on Italian riders, teams, etc., all came in after the Moto2 and Moto3 teams were already there.
Gotcha.
So the GP teams were not able to do their race. Then Thailand stepped in and said, "We're not going to do race two." So Thailand's been postponed until October 4th.
Gotcha.
And then now the season opener is supposed to be in Austin. And that's in another 3.5 weeks. Well, Austin just canceled the South by Southwest Music and Art Festival, which is a heck of a big deal to Austin's economy. I mean, South by Southwest is bigger than Formula One, WEC, and MotoGP all put together. And that's a huge hit for their economy, but they had to cancel it with a week before.
Sure.
Well, here we are. You know, Italy's in lockdown.
Yeah.
And they're saying now that I think there's something like a dozen cities in northern Italy that are under quarantine enforced by the Italian army.
I heard that.
Encompassing 16 million people. Well, okay, how's that going to work with Ducati and Aprilia and Pirelli and Brembo and and Magneti Morelli,
yeah,
and all the myriad of suppliers that come out of Italy.
Yeah.
To say nothing of a third of the riders in MotoGP.
Yeah. The trickle-down effect of this is absolutely mind-boggling when you stop and think about it.
Well, it's more than more. It's getting to be a lot more than a trickle down. It's getting to be more of a tidal wave, it certainly has hit Italy. This is the second day in a row that the deaths have doubled.
Yeah,
or not doubled. Excuse me, gone up by 50%, 40% to 50%.
Right.
Yesterday, and then again today, and those numbers are not going to be encouraging anyone to open up their travel restrictions to racing teams.
No.
Now, next weekend is the Australian Formula One Grand Prix. And by all accounts, the what was formerly known as Toro Rosso, that's now called Alpha something or other, mm-hmm, is already on the road. Ferrari already has sent most of their personnel, and I'm assuming the equipment. So most, or certainly not all, but most of the men and materiel that make up a Grand Prix effort, mm-hmm, are on their way to Melbourne. But, you know, 24 hours ago, they were saying, oh, yeah, it's definitely on. And then 10 hours ago, you saw this stuff like, well, I don't know. Uh-huh. So it's hard to say for the season opening Formula One race in a week what's going to happen. And then the second race of the season is in Bahrain for Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
And today it was announced that that race will be held with no spectators.
No kidding.
Spectators will not be allowed to attend the Bahrain Grand Prix. Now, admittedly, the Bahrain Grand Prix, you're probably referring to, they're not going to let both of the people in. It's not exactly Monza.
Yeah, you think? But it makes them feel good. It'll make them, yeah, it'll make them feel good to say that.
Yeah, it's a showcase for some fiefdom over there in the Middle East than it is a spectator event.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, closed to spectators.
Wow.
And there's a lot of buzz saying, well, you know, will they even let the, you know, Formula One teams to any further events, because the event after Bahrain is Vietnam, and Vietnam has said anyone coming to our country from Italy for this Grand Prix street course in Hanoi will have to spend, I don't know, 10 days or 2 weeks in quarantine.
Yeah.
Where they'll be allowed. Well, if they're racing in Bahrain, how's that going to work?
Yeah, that can't work. I mean, it's not like months and months apart. Man, I tell you. Well, you know, I myself, the little guy like me, I just had two press events canceled, and one was in L.A. and the other one was in Arizona because of this virus. So,
picture what it's going to be like by the time we get to the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, don't you? I mean, the dollar loss is going to be astronomical. Hey, buddy, I always appreciate it when you call in. I look forward to chatting with you, and if you can line up some interviews, man, I can do midweek interviews, and you can be part of it, and we can have ourselves a good time.
I'll talk to him if there is a MotoGP in Austin.
There you go.
Making it fast.
Yep, making it faster, one and two, folks. You need to go to Google, get that book, and if you want to go fast, that's the book you need to read. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.